Morning.
Good morning.
I want to say that I'm glad to be with you here this morning as we think about waiting for something. It's always difficult to wait, especially when you're waiting for something and anticipating the future is bleak. Huh? It's a little more difficult. I need you to join me in prayer. I know that you guys are great in praying for the body of Christ. Please pray for Joan's sister's husband. His name is John. He'll be in surgery tomorrow at Washington for removal of some problem in the bowel area of cancer. So please pray for that. We want him to be safe, to protect his life. He has a lot of other issues, so please pray for him. Pray for Fran, her sister, and just ask for a prayer for the entire family. Also, please pray for Tom Shives. He's at Manor Care. That's Janet Angett's father. And he's been moved to Manor Care up here off of Crossroads. Is that right? Crossroads or West McMurray. Is that what that is? So please pray for him as they're trying to take care of him. And then John Gesselberdy Sr., big guy. Well, they're both big guys. His son is big. But John Gesselberdy Sr., his mother was taken to Presby. She had a heart attack and she has pneumonia in one of her lungs. So please pray for her. As she's doing better now, they've kind of got her under wraps as far as medicine and things are helping her pneumonia, but also dealing with the heart attack. But as you can imagine, that's stressful. But John Sr. is in the emergency room this morning. He's been having difficulty with a bad cold and sickness. So please pray for him as they try to treat him. And I know that some of you have been dealing with that in your own family, so please continue to pray for everyone that has been dealing with what we're all sharing. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about all of the promises of you that you've given us in your Bible, the one that's most special is that you'll be with us. As we sang about it, that you are a good, good God, and that we can take heart in the fact that you are with us, and that you go with us wherever we go. There's nowhere that we're out of your presence. Nothing can separate us from your love. We do pray for Tom and for John and for Rietta and for John Sr., Gesselberdy. We pray, God, for all of them. We lift them up to you. We pray that all of them will know that you're there, that you're with them. And if they don't know it, Lord, that they would cry out to you. Sometimes when we get into the hospital, we wonder if you know where we're at, but the psalmist tells us that you know everywhere we go and that we're never out of your sight or out of your mind. You are conscious of us. You look down upon us today. You want us to be with you. Lord, as we think about all the things that's going on in our lives right now, let us focus on your promises. Let us rejoice in your promises. Let us have hope that you are there, that your presence is with us, and that your timing is never late. We pray, God, for your help for that as we prepare to try to understand what Jacob is going through so that it would help us. We pray, God, for wisdom, knowing how to do this thing called waiting. And when we're fearful, when we're afraid, Lord, how do we wait in faith? I pray, God, for your help for all of these things, that you would bring them into our hearts and that you would help us if we're fearful today of something or if we're worrying about things. We ask, Lord, for your help for that. If we're waiting on a job or an appointment or a doctor's visit, or a diagnosis, that you would give us a sense of your presence with us today and your promise to never leave us or forsake us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Waiting is very difficult, isn't it? You think about Jacob. He's sitting there. He's been told by God to go where he is. I want you to remember that God told him to go where he is. And now he has went back to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And you think about it, he is being obedient. But even when we're waiting for a job or something, you're waiting on your prayers to be answered, waiting for something good is difficult at best. But when you're waiting and you're anticipating something difficult, something very bad may be happening, then it's even more difficult and the anxiety level goes up. You've all had maybe a doctor. I remember I was at my doctor's office and he was checking me out, and he told me that he wanted to send me to a specialist. And I just moved to Pittsburgh, and I said, nah, I'll get my own doctor. You know? what do you know? I'll get my own doctor. And then I called the other doctor, and they said, sir, unless you're bleeding or you're in pain, we won't see you for 6 months. And I, you know, like, I was worried enough. Now they're telling me 6 months. And so I called my doctor back, and luckily he wasn't so mad at me for not taking his advice that he gave me the name of the doctor, and I got to see the other guy within 2 weeks. But still, even 2 weeks felt like a lifetime. And I know that some of you are out there, I talked to some of you, are waiting on things, and it's difficult when we're waiting and we're afraid, isn't it? It's very difficult. And so fear can weigh us down. Warren Wiersbe says, what is worry? The Greek word translated anxious, careful, in Philippians 4:6 means to be pulled in different directions. Our hope pulls us in one direction. Our fears pulls us in the opposite direction. And we are pulled apart. The old English root from which we get our word worry means to strangle. And if you've ever really worried, you know how it is. It does strangle a person. In fact, worry has a definite physical consequence. It causes headaches, neck pains, ulcers, even back pains. And worry affects our thinking, our digestion, and even our coordination, he says. I've never heard that one. From the spiritual point of view, worry is a wrong thinking in the mind and wrong feeling in the heart about circumstances, people, and things. Worry is the greatest thief of joy. Now, you guys all know that I went through a recent procedure, and the woman said that she'd let me go to the restroom and come back to number four. And number four was the little room I was going to be in. And she goes, you're going to take all your clothes off and put this on. And this, whatever she handed me wasn't thick enough for me. And so I went to the restroom, I came back, and she told me, she goes, okay, you ready? She says, just get all your clothes off. She said, you can leave your socks on. And I thought, oh, great, I can leave my socks on. That helps me. And so she puts me in the room, and I get in my little gown with the back wide open. I tuck it in behind me, and I sat down on that bed, and I laid down. She goes, are you decent? And I said, yes, as decent as I can. And so she came in, and my blood pressure right after that. And she goes, is your blood pressure always high? And I felt like saying, you know, lady, when you get naked in front of somebody you don't know, and you're going to, you know, it's just like ridiculous. And my blood pressure was really high. And she goes, do you worry? Are you worried? I said, you know, I could have told her, nah, you know. But obviously my blood pressure is high, right? 160 beats or 170 beats, my heart was in there going. And so she goes, well, I'll tell the doctor. I'll go get your daughters, and they'll calm you down, right? And so they got Hannah and Kate, and they came in, and they said, Dad, and they started smiling. Why are you nervous? And why are you nervous, Dad? And I said, because I'm naked, and I am ashamed. And so, you know, the anesthesiologist asked me a weird question. He goes, are you worried about anything? And I said, no. And I wasn't worried about anything, but I was nervous about the procedure, but I can't remember what I said after that because he gave me a shot, and it wasn't. I woke up the next, you know, 20 minutes later, and I thought they hadn't even done anything. But it was okay. It was clear. But that's not always the case, is it? It's not always the case when we worry about stuff. But it does have an impact on our body. So waiting and worrying is difficult. So God never said he would make it easy. He said, I'd take you to the promised land. But he said it would be good. He didn't say it'd be easy. Right? And so we have to remember that. Adrian Rogers says, faith born in the light develops in the dark. And that's true, isn't it? It develops in the light also, but some of the darkest times is when we struggle the most. And so difficulty does bring us, shakes us from our own reliance on ourselves. And here we'll look at Jacob. And he's returning home after 20 years of being away, working for his uncle Laban. He had married two daughters, remember? And he is blessed by God while working for his uncle and ends up remaining with him for 20 years. But he wasn't very long that there was jealousy among his cousins, and they're ready for him to leave. And God tells him it's time for him to return. If you look back in Genesis 31, right around verse 3, right in the beginning of the chapter, he says, well, let's just read through the first three verses. Now Jacob heard that those sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was ours, our father's, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. And then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. I will be with you. So Jacob does a good thing. He calls his wives together and he tells them what's going on with the family. And he tells them about what God has told him. And he tells them it's time to leave. And then we get over to this chapter and we're going to pick it up here. And we're going to see what it means to be waiting in fear. And so going home for Jacob, remember, is sweet and sour at the same time. It's sweet in the sense that he gets to see his father. It's sour in the sense that he has to think about meeting up with his brother, who he's double-crossed a couple of different times. And so here we go. As we start forward here with Jacob, I want you to think about, I want you to remember three things for you to remember, and then I think there's three things for you to do when you're waiting and you're fearful. And so what to do when you're afraid? What to do when you're afraid? So there's three things to remember. First, number one, remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. Why do I say that? God's not like a man, and it tells us this in Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will not fulfill it? It's a powerful verse. It's a good one to write down to you, for you to remember that God doesn't flippantly say things. If he told Jacob to go home, and he told Jacob, it's time to return to your father. It was on his heart. He knew that. But God had never given him the green light. And now he's been given the green light. And God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And so Jacob, when we come to this passage, he's going and basing his life on what God has said to him. And that's the way we are told. But remember, God said he would be good and that he would be with us, but he never said it would be easy. I heard somebody say, when you're trying to get to the promised land, you got to go to the wilderness to get to the promised land. And so it's not always easy, but it's in God's will. And so it's difficult to remember that. The second thing is that I want you to notice it's God's presence. We just sang the song and it had that. It's who you are, it's who you are, but it's God. It's a good. He's a good, good God, but it's he said, we're basing it on the fact that he has said, and we sing about God's promises. Why do we do that? Well, I think it's great. It's right out of Philippians 4, where we quote it all the time. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. And then he says, let your reasonableness be evident to all. And then he goes on to say, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. But before we get to that part, we're supposed to be rejoicing in the promises. And so when we sing, it takes our focus off of ourselves and puts it on God and his promises and his presence and his timing. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he told Jacob that I would go with you. And true shalom, which the Bible talks about, true peace comes from God's presence. You remember? It was a big deal back in the garden when God was with the people in the garden, and the shalom was breached when they sinned against God. And God said, you know what? If you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And that's when he kicked them out of the garden, and he left the angels guarding the garden. Now, it's interesting, because God tells him to return to the promised land. And Jacob is the elect. He's part of the elect. And when he goes back, it's interesting here that God's promises. He says, I will be with you. He says that it's time. His presence is there. His promise is there. The timing of it. Remember God's timing. In God I trust, Psalm 56:11 says, I shall not be afraid of what man can do to me. And in Genesis 31:3, the Lord said to Jacob, I will be with you. And the God's timing, he's never late. He's never early. He's always on time.
But delay sometimes is seen, and delay is not denial. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. It will. If it seems slow," he says, "wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay." So delay is not denial. Habakkuk 2:3. So when we're waiting and we feel like we're in the dark, we have to trust God's promises. We have to trust God's presence. We have to trust God's timing. That it says, if it seems slow, he says, wait for it. It will come through. Okay, so those are the three things that we need to remember. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? I think that we can learn from Jacob. Prepare to act. When God says go, go. Prepare to act. Now, Jacob did a really good job here. I think 20 years of God's learning center, his true life living center there, Jacob had to go through a lot. And by 20 years, I think Jacob had learned. And he was looking forward to being in God's will. And he goes on God's command. And he says, I'll go back. So he goes back. Look at verse 1 there. Prepare to act. God promised Jacob, and Jacob acted. Verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and then the angels of God, it says, met him. That's pretty good. You get there, the angels are there. I mean, you'd be glad, wouldn't you, if you thought you had a vision of where God wanted you to go, and you went on, and it's a scary thing. I mean, think about it. 20 years he's had to think about old Esau when he returns back. And on the way back, he had plenty of time to think about it as he goes back there with his wives, that he's longing to look for his father, but he's dreading to see his brother. For 20 years. There's people here that's got problems with family right now. It's been going on a lot longer than that. And you think about him all the time. It never leaves your mind. Never leaves your heart. It's always there. Someone tries to talk to you about it. Don't want to talk about it. Don't bring it up, right? So here we go. Jacob goes on his way, and he sees these angels. The angels of God meet him at the promised land. And I just find it interesting, as the people were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they left two angels. He's coming back to the promised land, and he's picking back up with God 20 years later. And there's the angels. And they're in two camps. And remember, there was two angels back in the garden. Okay? Just an interesting tidbit to think about. And look what he says. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." I'd be excited too if I was worried about my brother. I mean, if you knew your brother was a good shot with that bow and arrow that he remembered him by, and he knew that his brother was said, "If once my dad dies, you're dead. You're dead meat." That's what he said. He didn't say it in those terms. He said, "You better get out of Dodge. I'm meeting you at the OK Corral. Be back here at noon." He didn't say all that. That's me. So I've seen too many Clint Eastwood movies, the good, bad, and the ugly. So there's good and there's bad and there's ugly, right? And so Jacob saw them and he said, "This is God's camp." Thumbs up. So he called the name of that place Mahanaim, meaning it's insinuating there's two camps of angels. And the Gill, who is a translator or a theologian, said it's possibly two hosts of angels, which would be like 60,000 angels apiece. And it could there was some suggestion that maybe they were in front of him and behind him. One protecting him from what he was fearing. He was running from old Laban, his uncle, and the ones in front of him to protect him from his brother Esau. To protect him. You know, you hemmed me in before and after. It's really a beautiful picture. So you have to prepare your heart. You have to prepare to act. You have to prepare your heart and your mind, because you're going to go through this, and you have to be willing to go forward with God. I'll pick back up with Wiersbe, because I'll explain why I want you to hear him. He says the antidote for worry is a secure mind. And Philippians 4, everybody quotes that passage, that the peace of God that's beyond understanding will guard your heart and your mind. The peace of God that's beyond understanding, you don't understand it. So before, you needed to rejoice. Why are you rejoicing? Because the Lord is with you, right? The peace of God, which will guard your heart, and your mind. I can't just tell myself not to worry. I need God to help me not worry, right? It's going to take a work, a supernatural work. You take my blood pressure and you put me in a room naked, that's all it took. We are like little bunnies. We are frail. And God knows that He's made us. We have feet of clay. So we need to prepare to act. We also need to prepare our hearts and our minds. And how do we do that? Again, rejoice rejoice in what? God's promises, His presence, and His timing. Prepare your heart and your mind in that. David said, I will hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I don't like it when pastors say this, that worry or anxiety is not trusting God, so you're sinning against God. God says in Philippians, it says, if you worry, you need to pray. Take your fears, take your worries, and turn them into a prayer list. Don't worry about anything, God says. Pray about everything. And so He's acknowledging that we are afraid. And that, now Jesus encourages us to think about the kingdom when He talks about it in Matthew 6. You remember when we worry about food, fashion, and future, He said, you don't need to worry about all those things. Your Heavenly Father will take care of you. You're more valuable. He says, look at the birds of the air. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the flowers in the field. Your Heavenly Father has adorned them. He's clothed them. That they're here today and going tomorrow. How much more valuable, He says, are you? Now, if you don't know those verses, you don't know where those are at, how can you... What I want to say to you is you're not preparing your heart and your mind. And you have to prepare your heart and your mind. So you got to remember those things, but you also, we need to do some things. We need to prepare to act on God's promises, but we have to prepare our hearts and our minds. Because God didn't say if you'll go through tribulation, He says when you go through tribulation. There's an assumption on the part of God, that we will go through tribulation. So we have to understand that. So Wiersbe says, the antidote is a secure mind. The peace of God shall keep you, a garrison, a guard, like a soldier, your hearts and your minds through Christ. The peace of God guards you, Philippians 4:7, and the God of peace guides you, Philippians 4:9. With that kind of protection, He says, why worry? I mean, think about it. Jacob is excited. He has the angels of God on his team. He says, I can slam dunk this thing. Okay? So let's see how long it lasts. It's an interesting thing here. If we think about our minds, if we keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. So we need to keep our minds on God. We rejoice in the Lord. We do not be anxious about anything, but everything we pray, and the peace of God that's beyond understanding will guard your heart and mind. Wiersbe says there's three things that we need to do. He says there are three: right praying, right thinking, and right living. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not disagreeing with Warren, but I quoted, let the love of the Lord cast out all fear when I was afraid. And I was still afraid. I don't think the absence of... I think that just because you have faith, you can also be worried. And the absence... Just because you're worried doesn't mean you don't have courage. And what I want you to see is that Jacob is walking in faith. Based on the promise of God and the command of God, God was telling him, go, return to your home of your father and your kindred. And he knew exactly what he was telling him to go to. He said, you're going to have to face your fears here. Walk in faith. Well, sometimes walking in faith means that we have to walk through the wilderness. And that fear may be present alongside of your time in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now, your faith is probably weak. Jesus said to his disciples, how long am I going to put up with you guys? I keep telling you, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten, spit on, but I will be put on a cross and I will be raised 3 days later. How long? He goes, ye of little faith. He was always saying that, our faith. But it only takes mustard seed faith, right, to move the mountain. And God knows us. He knows us. The man, I like the man in Mark chapter 9. He says, help my unbelief here. So what I want you to see is that this is writing as two parallel bars, that faith and fear are walking together here. And so what do we need to do? We prepare, but we also need to pray. If we're gonna prepare ourselves, praying is part of that. You need to turn your worry list into a prayer list. And it says in the Bible, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. So patient, waiting in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So don't quit your praying. Don't quit. So what's Jacob do? Well, Jacob's going through and he's trying to send all these animals. And what do? The servants come back and they said, your brother's coming with 400 men to meet you. And then what does it say? Jacob is extremely afraid and distressed. He's shaking in his boots. So what's he do? He's still acting. He doesn't freeze in fear. He still works to get his family. He divides them up into two camps. I believe he got the idea from God. They said they had the two camps of the angels. I think he got the idea from God to put them in two camps. He said if Esau attacks one of them, then the other will escape. Everybody makes fun of old Jacob here. I think he's doing what he can while he can. And that's what you got to do when you're afraid, right? You have to do what to protect your family. You have to take steps. You don't freeze in fear. You prepare. What do they say? Prepare for the worst. Expect the worst. What's the other one? Something for the best. Hope for the best. There you go. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Okay, so that's what he's doing. I believe that's what he's doing. He's doing everything he can. And then he sends his wives off across this stream of Jabbok. And he still is trying to get these gifts that he wants to do. And it says in verse 5 to find favor with old Esau. He's trying to send him as much stuff as possible to make old Esau happy. So he's praying, but he's also preparing. And he's wanting to meet up, and he's walking with God here in faith. At the same time, he's a little bit nervous. It doesn't say a little bit. It says he's deeply afraid. And he has good reason to be. His brother said he was going to kill him the next time he saw him. So you've got this thing going on. So what do you do when you're afraid? You prepare, you pray, and the third thing, you persevere. But I want you to see something in his prayer. In verse 9, it says, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, because see, remember, Jacob was told, I am the son of God. I am the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac. O Lord, who said to me, return to your country. He's saying, he's reminding God, you said to go back here, Lord, and you told me to come here. And here's what you said, return to your country, to your kindred, that I may do you good, Lord. You said it would be good. Now, this is really bleeding out here. This isn't a Facebook prayer. This is between him and God. And he says, I am not worthy in the least of all the deeds of the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff, I crossed the Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please, he says, deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. You know what? Have you ever been gotten alone with God when you're afraid? And there ain't no more pretending. You just tell God, I'm afraid. And this is what happens after he prays. He keeps praying, please deliver me from the hand of my brother. I fear him that he may come and attack me. The mothers with the children. So he's concerned about his family. But you said, God, I will surely do you good and make your offering as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. So how is that going to happen, God, if you let my brother wipe me out? That's what he's saying. He's persevering in prayer, but he's also willing to struggle with God. And God comes up to him. And some people believe this was Jesus and wrestles with Jacob. It says a man wrestled with him until the break of day. So the thing is that Jacob, it says specifically that he kept striving. He's called grappler. He's called a grappler. He was holding on to his brother's heel, you remember. And now he's holding on to God, and God says, let me go. And he goes, no, I won't let you go. Tell me your name, tell me your name. And he goes, tell me your name. He wants him to face on who he is. God gets you alone. He wants to you be who you are. You be who I made you. And don't be trying to hide or deceive me. He says, tell me your name, Jacob. You remember, he deceived his first father, his earthly father. He says, tell me your name, Jacob. What are you going to tell me? Jacob says, he tells him his name. And he holds on to him and he fights with him. He won't let him go. And then God touches him and he breaks him. He hurts him. He touches his socket. Just boop. And he breaks him. And then he changes his name and he blesses it. So what do we need to do? We need to prepare. We need to pray. We need to persevere and continue to struggle with God. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Keep praying. Don't give up on God. Wait, it said. To personally struggle with God. Are you personally struggling with God in prayer? I'm talking, do you feel alone to the point of where there's nothing but you and Jesus, and you're thinking about what's on the other side? To struggle with God, to prevail in faith. You prevail. He didn't conquer God. God just went, boop. Now you're limping. And he limped away, but he was blessed. God's more, I heard a pastor saying, God's more important, is more important for him to maybe hurt you in order to help you, to heal you. He had to break my legs to keep me from running, so that I'd sit still long enough and consider my struggle with him. And so here's what I want to say to you as we think about and we close up here. Keep striving. James says in verse 1:12, chapter 1, verse 12 in James, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And so Jacob walks out of there with a limp, but he says, this is the place, Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Do you understand that God marks the race out for you? God says, endure. He says, fight the good fight. But the race is marked out for you is one that God chose for you. That means he set up all of the path and the barriers and the things that you have to go across and that you have to travel through to get to where he wants you. Amen. I need you around. So endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as children, as his sons and daughters. God disciplines us for our good. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It's purposeful, it's not pleasurable, it's painful at the time, but it's productive. What helps the believer? To focus on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we are born again into a living hope. We have been granted an inheritance. And the uniqueness of that inheritance that we talked about just a few weeks ago is untouched by death, unstained by evil, and unimpaired by time. And it's shielded by God's power, and it does not diminish. So three things to remember: God, his promises, his presence, and his timing. And three things to do: pray, or prepare, pray, and persevere. Continue to struggle. Don't give up. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this. We ask, Lord, for your help for it. As we think about old Jacob, we think about him struggling with you and prevailing because of your mercy, not because of his might. So God, help us, Lord, as you've marked out the race for us, as we come before you now as children, as your children, help us to endure hardship as discipline. And we look forward to the crown of life. But Lord, help us and help those of us who are worried about something today to focus on your promises and that you're with us in your presence and your timing. Help us to wait when we feel like it may be delayed. Help us to wait, Lord,
in faith and to keep walking in faith and prepare, pray, and persevere. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.